Well, I got a special word for you all today. Amen. It's a special time of the year, and I got a special word because everybody in here is blessed. Amen. And I just want to show you how to stay blessed. Huh? It ain't about what you can get, but what it's really about, saints. What you can keep. You want to stay blessed. Amen. We get a lot of things in this life, but can we keep it? Well, blessings, you want to keep them. Amen. You don't want to let them go. So today I'm going to show you how we keep our blessings. A very, very important principle that we have to incorporate in our lives to keep the blessings flowing. Amen. We love the blessings of the Lord, don't we? Because they add no sorrow. Amen. See, we get blessings out of the world, but sometimes it's not really what we need. Amen. But God's blessings, they don't add sorrow. Thank you for them, Lord. So what do we do, saints? Last week we talked about the order in the court, right? Was that the word for the last few weeks? Order in the court. And the Lord showed why the world was so out of order. We saw that. The world is out of order because the church is out of order, saints. The world is looking at us. And the church is the light of the world. Amen. So let me just say this. Before Jesus returns, the church has got to get it together. Amen. That's why this cry is going out. Sister Dora said the news flash was repent now. Amen. She said, news flash, get your house in order. She caught that word. Amen. Jesus wants to return us saints to a bride that's without a spot or a wrinkle, right? He's not returning for a bride that got problems. Amen. He says, I'm coming for a bride without a spot or a wrinkle. He wants us to be blameless. Amen. So our hearts have to stay close to God, saints. And it has to be right with God. Amen. Like David, we have to be after God's own heart. Amen. God said that David was a man after his own heart. Amen. And that's what we want to be. We want to be after the heart of God. See, in our flesh, we're a mess, saints. But in Christ, we're more than conquerors. Amen. In Jesus, we're really complete. We don't need nothing in him. Amen. He completes us. Amen. It was really cute when a man tells his wife that you complete me. But the truth of the matter is Jesus is completing us. Amen. We are complete in him. Amen. You all remember the prescription I gave out last week? I gave a prescription out. It was found in 2 Chronicles chapter 7 and verse 14. It says, if my people, which are called by my name, shall humble themselves and pray and seek my face and turn from their wicked ways, then will I hear from heaven and will forgive their sin and will heal their land. So who is God talking about, saints? Us, his people, right? Leaders, huh? His people, his leaders, huh? It starts at the top. He's saying if we lead correctly, amen, huh? The people that call by his name, first of all, we got to humble ourselves and pray and then seek the face of God, amen, which is the direction of God, huh? Which is the sight of God. And then we got to turn away from our way of doing things. Then he said he'll hear from heaven and he'll forgive our sin and heal our land. Huh? He's talking about us. It starts at the top, doesn't it? Where does judgment begin? In the house of God. Judgment begins in the house of God, saints. He said, his people, we get it right. Amen. Look at verse 15. It says, now mine eyes shall be open and my ears attent unto the prayer that is made in this place. See, we want God's eyes to be open and we want his ears to be attent. Amen. To our prayers. We don't want our prayers hindered. We don't want our prayers going astray. When we pray, we want God to answer our prayers. Amen. And he's saying all this happens when we humble ourselves. Amen. He said, if we humble ourselves and pray and seek his face and turn from our way of doing things, heaven, he'll hear from us in heaven. And he'll forgive our sins and he'll heal our land. Huh? But it's a big if in front. If, my people, if we do it. Amen. Look at verse 16. It says, for now have I chosen and sanctified this house, that my name may be there forever, and my eyes and my heart shall be there perpetually. So God wants his name, his heart, his eyes, everything to be with us forever. Amen. Oh, that's a powerful promise right there. And all we got to do is this if right here. Stay humble. Amen. Pray and seek the face of God and turn away from our way of doing things. Amen. That's the big if we have to do. That's on us. That's our part. But I want to show you, I want to add 17 and 18 today because I want to show you something out of 17 and 18 that he made clear to me. Verse 17 says this, and as for thee, if thou will walk before me as David thy father walked and do according to all that I have commanded thee and shall observe my statutes and my judgments. So he's saying he wants us to walk as David walked. Amen. He was talking to Solomon. Huh? He said, I want you to walk just like your father walked and keep and observe my statutes and do the things that I tell you to do. That's what he's saying. I commanded thee. Do what I tell you to do and observe my statutes and my judgments. He said, if you do that, verse 18 says, then will I establish the throne of thy kingdom according as I have covenanted with David thy father, saying, there shall not fail thee a man to be ruler in Israel. You all kings up in here, hear me. Hey, if y'all want them kingdoms established, huh? That's that. We got to do that big if. Huh? If we do the things he commands us to do, if we observe his statutes and judgments, he said he will establish the throne of that kingdom according as I have covenanted with David. Amen. He's saying if we walk like David, King David walked, we won't be the unchosen people. Amen. We're his chosen people. Amen. He will be with us always and forever. Is that the promise, saints? Did y'all see it like I saw it? Well, let's explore how David walked. Amen. We're going to explore today just how David walked. God bless you, woman of God. Thank you, thank you, thank you, Jesus. If we do the big if, he said he's going to bless us like he did David. Amen. Now, one thing we know about David was he was not perfect. Do we know that about David, saints? He made some major mistakes, not no little small mistakes. David made some big mistakes. Amen. But this message today is so important. I want you all to get this in your spirit, because if you get this piece right here, your kingdom will be established. Amen. Just like he established David's. Huh? The name of this message, Carlton, is The Road to Recovery. Okay? This message is going to be called The Road. I want to show you the road to recovery. Amen. Thank you, Lord Jesus. This is a great lesson, saints. Huh? It's a great lesson on forgiveness and healing. And this message will keep you from death. You hear me, saints? It's a great lesson on forgiveness and healing. But this message will also keep you from death. Amen. Praise God. Thank you, thank you, thank you, Jesus. Hallelujah, Lord. Let me say this. In your course of life, you're going to need all those things. Do you hear me? You're going to need all of them. You're going to need forgiveness. You're going to need healing. And you're going to want to be kept from death. Amen? Because I know I look at my life, so many times things could have happened. Amen? I was in position for some bad things to really happen. But God kept me from that. Amen? So sometimes we need to be forgiven and sometimes we need to be healed. And we definitely don't want to walk in death. You all heard this expression right here, the walking dead. A walking dead, man. Some people live a lifestyle so reckless, you say, that's a walking dead, man. Amen. We don't want that. So I'm going to give you the key to these situations. So when you do go off the street, call straight, the God-directed path, when you go off that street, I'm going to show you what you need to do. Because what will happen is God will reveal to you your condition. Amen. Because he's merciful. He's just. He's fair. When you go off the path, he'll show it to you. Amen. He'll point out the place that you're in. Amen. See, when we're messing up, we know it. It's not like we don't know it, but God will show it to you. And when he show it to you, saints of God, this is the most important piece right here. Listen to me. Don't make excuses. Okay? When God show you the error in your way, do not make excuses. Don't blame other people. Don't compare yourself to other people. Amen? And don't hide and cover. You don't want to do any of those things. If you want forgiveness, healing, and to keep you from death, those are the don'ts when God reveals to you what's going on with you. You know what you want to do, saints? Immediately. Repent. Amen. Soon as God show you the error in your way, you want to repent. Amen. You all see what's at stake. Forgiveness is at stake. Healing is at stake. And your life is at stake. Amen. I mean your life in Christ. Your real life, huh? The latter days, your eternal life. All that's at stake, amen? You want to let God know that you're sorry, amen? Like I did today, I was a couple minutes late. I don't want to be late with God. I want to be on time with him. Amen, look, Lord, I'm sorry. You know, please strengthen me. Please help me, Lord. If I hurt anyone, please, Lord, just show it to me. Amen. You want to repent, saints of God. Let them know you're sorry and turn away from the error in your ways. See, you know what happens? Many times after we apologize to God, he'll send you to the one you hurt. See, this is how you complete the repentance cycle. Okay, so you said to God, Lord, I'm sorry. I'm sorry, Lord. I didn't know, Lord. And then the Lord might say, okay, well, now you got to go to this person or that person or this person. Huh? That's completing a cycle, you know. And if you don't go to those people, you really didn't repent. You didn't complete the cycle. Amen. Oh, y'all know what I'm going to bring up. You know, the Lord, when he was working with his servant, you know, I'm at the funeral and the Lord said, okay, I need you to call them women up and apologize to them. What? That's right. 400 people went at the funeral. He told me it was 400 people. Call them and apologize to them. Now, what if I wouldn't have done it? I'm showing you what's at stake. Forgiveness was at stake. Healing was at stake. And my life was at stake. Amen. What if I just would have said, okay, Lord, now I preached this message. I gave them your word. I did all this stuff that I don't know nothing about doing. I already did that. But I can't do that last. What if I would have did that? Huh? It was too much at stake. This right here was at stake. Amen. I don't want the blessings of the Lord to ever stop flowing. Y'all feel like that? Huh? Who all feel like that? I just don't want the blessings of the Lord to ever stop flowing. Amen. So you, when you repent, complete the cycle. Do whatever the Lord tells you to do. You know what Jesus say? Go and sin no more, lest a worse thing come upon you. Huh? Ain't that what he told him? He told that to the man at Bethesda. He told that to the lady, too, who they brought the charges against. He just said, look, go and sin no more. But at the man on the bed of Bethesda, he told him, go and sin no more, lest a worse thing come upon you. Amen? When you know better, saints, you can do better. And the word I'm giving you today is really going to help you do better. in this area. Amen. See, we go through some big streams to have our way. Do y'all realize that? We'll go through some real severe extremes just to have our way. But things have to be done decent, come on, and in order. And I gave the prescription for church leaders, saints, because we're kings and we're priests in him. Amen. And right after the prescription found in 2 Chronicles 7, 14 to 16, and again, verse 17 and 18, said this. I want to read 17 and 18 to you again. Right after the prescription, right after you humble yourself and pray and seek the face of God and turn from your wicked ways, 17 says this. And as for thee, if thou will walk before me, now you want to walk before him, as David thy father walked, and do according to all that I have commanded thee, and shall observe my statutes and my judgments, then will I establish the throne of thy kingdom, according as I have covenanted with David thy father, saying, there shall not fail thee a man to be ruler in Israel. That's what God did for me, saints of God, and he was doing the same thing for you. Amen. Then he established this thing right here. He established this after all that. Amen. Okay, so we got to look at how David walked, because it's saying we got to walk like David walked, right? Turn in your Bible to 2 Samuel chapter 11. Let's watch how David walked. 2 Samuel chapter 11. Thank you, Jesus. What's the name of this message again? The Road to Recovery. Is that what I said? The Road to Recovery. Okay, 2 Samuel chapter 11. Look at verse 1. It says, and it came to pass after the year was expired, at the time when kings go forth to battle, that David sent Joab and his servants with him and all Israel. And they destroyed the children of Ammon and besieged Rabbah. But David tarried still at Jerusalem. Okay. So David sent him to battle the Ammonites. Ammonites, right? Children of Ammon. And they were winning the battle, but you all notice, what did David do? He tarried. He stayed at Jerusalem. David didn't go. Amen. So right there, I see he's out of position. You know what I want to tell y'all kings today? Watch your position. You know, I used to have this saying, position is everything. You know, watch where you place yourself. Amen. You want to be in the place where God would have you to be. Wherever he tell you to go, go to that place. Amen. But watch your position. Because look what it says in this first scripture. At the time when kings go forth to battle. He should have been going forth. Amen. That was the time. But he stayed. Amen. Look at verse 2. And it came to pass in an evening tide, that David arose from off his bed and walked upon the roof of the king's house. And from the roof, he saw a woman washing herself. And the woman was very beautiful to look upon. Okay, kings, here we go. Y'all kings hearing me? Here we go. Amen. He's watching the woman from his rooftop. And she was very beautiful to look upon. Satan is preparing that Moab. Amen. You all know what that Moab is? Anybody know what the Moab is? These kids know, because they be playing them games. Amen. The Moab is the mother of all bombs. You know, I hear my kids in the room, they play this certain game, and they be like, okay, we're going to drop that Moab right now. That mean the game about to be over. We're going to drop that Moab on them right now. Amen. That's what Satan was preparing when the king was on the roof looking at this beautiful woman. Satan was about to drop that Moab. Amen. Mother of all bombs. And David sent and inquired after the woman. And one said, is not this Bathsheba, the daughter of Eliam, the wife of Uriah the Hittite? And David sent messengers and took her. Somebody has some sense to say, and one said, ain't this Bathsheba? Ain't this Uriah's wife that he talking about going, being her to come? Somebody has some sense. They saw it coming. And David sent an inquiry after the woman. No, verse 4. And David sent messengers and took her. And she came in unto him, and he lay with her, for she was purified from her uncleanness. And she returned unto her house. Kings, let me just say this to you. Please know that God can see. Amen. God can see. What, he thought he can't see or something? I don't get this part. Okay, look at verse 5. And the woman conceived and sent and told David and said, I am with child. Ain't nothing new under the sun, is it? Huh? Have we seen this one before? Time and time and time again. He dropped that same bomb. Huh? The woman said, I am with child. Now, the scripture told us to walk like David, right? Right now, David is in some mess. You hear me, saints? The king is in some mess. Huh? And many church leaders can get in mess. Amen? That's what God was showing us last week. The church is out of order. That's why the people are out of order. That's why we see all these churches up and down Halsted, and around them is not blessed like they should be. Blessed. Huh? Because the kings, the leaders, are out of order. Amen? So here we go. Look at verse 6. And David sent to Joab, saying, send me Uriah the Hittite. And Joab sent Uriah to David. Now again, Uriah was who? Bathsheba's husband, right? So David wants to talk to her husband. Amen. Y'all think he gonna tell? Is he gonna tell what he did to his wife? Amen. All right, let me give you this revelation. This is what I believe. When David sent for Uriah, the Lord told him to send for him. Because God is full of grace. Sin, you need to tell that man what you did. You think God didn't tell him? Look, you messed up. Right now, right here, you need to send for her husband and tell him. Because, you know, because he went to, y'all know when he messed up, he went to God, right? The king know, see, he know God can see. So the king went to God and said, Lord, I messed up. I failed at that woman. I'm out on the roof. And she was just beautiful, Lord. I messed up. And God said, okay. Then God said, well, you're going to have to let her husband know that, too. You told me, okay, I forgive you. Now to complete the cycle, you need to call Uriah up and tell him. That's what happened. Amen. And so he called Uriah up. He said, okay, you all got to go get Uriah now. Amen. Okay, where we at? Verse 7. And Joab sent Uriah to David. And when Uriah was come unto him, David demanded of him how Joab did and how the people did and how the war prospered. See, guilt will make you do some things out of order, saints. You know what it really does? That sin, like that, it hardens your heart. So now his heart is hard. He was the man after God's own heart, and here his heart then got hard. So instead of doing what God told him to do, he started demanding of Uriah, how's the war going? Is Joab, is he doing what he's supposed to do? Huh? Is the war, are we winning the battle? That's what David did. Look at verse 8. And David said to Uriah, go down to thy house and wash thy feet. And Uriah departed out of the king's house. And there followed him a mess of meat from the king. See, the king is trying to repay now. Huh? He's trying to make up for his mess. So he sends Uriah home, hoping he would sleep with his wife, right, to make it look like he impregnated her. Because that's what's really going on, saints. That's what's really going on. Amen. But Uriah slept at the door of the king's house with all the servants of his lord and went not down to his house. See, Uriah was a good Christian soldier, saints. He was loyal. Huh? He was loyal to the king. Uriah said, I'm not going home right now. We got this battle going on. Look at verse 10. And when they had told David, saying, Uriah went not down unto his house, David said unto Uriah, comest thou not from thy journey? Why then didst thou not go down unto thine house? David can't understand it. Didn't you just come from the journey of a war? Why aren't you going home to be with your wife? That's what he's telling him, right? Look at verse 11. And Uriah said unto David, the ark and Israel and Judah abide in tents. And my lord Joab and the servants of my lord are encamped in the open fields. Shall I then go into my house to eat and drink and to lie with my wife? As thou livest and as thou soul liveth, I will not do this thing. Was he a good Christian soldier? He said, the ark of God is at stake. Amen. And my fellow brothers down there fighting. And you're going to call me back and I'm just going to go home and lay with my, knowing what they going through out there. He said, I ain't doing that thing. I can't do it. Amen. A good Christian soldier. Worried about the things of God. That's what Uriah was on. He was worried about God's things. Amen. God said David was a man after his own heart. Huh? It looked like Uriah was after the heart of God, don't it? Praise God. Look at verse 12. And David said to Uriah, tarry here today also, and tomorrow I will let thee depart. So Uriah abode in Jerusalem that day and the morrow. And when David had called him, he did eat and drink before him, and he made him drunk. And at evening, he went out to lie on his bed with the servants of his Lord, but went not down to his house. He was trying everything, wasn't he? Now, the king going to call Uriah up. Come on up here. Let's drink. Let's eat, drink, and be me and you. Let's just have a drink. Amen. Probably was trying to get himself drunk so he could tell him what really was going on. Amen. Praise God. They say they blame it on the alcohol. He was trying to do that. Was he trying to do that? Y'all know he was trying to do that. Amen. So it says he still didn't go home, but went not down to his house, even on the alcohol. And it came to pass in the morning that David wrote a letter to Joab and sent it by the hand of Uriah. So David going to give Uriah a letter to take to Joab. And he wrote in the letter saying, set ye Uriah in the forefront of the hottest battle and retire ye from him, that he may be smitten and die. Now we talking about a man after God's own heart, right? Look how sin turned his heart, saints. Look at his heart. Huh? See, adultery leads to murder. Amen. We see what's going on. And then he had the nerve to ask Uriah to deliver his own death warrant. Amen. Uriah is taking his own death warrant to Joab. Wow. David, a man after God's own heart. Are you all seeing this with me? And it came to pass, when Joab observed the city, that he assigned Uriah unto a place where he knew that the valiant men were. So Joab checked out. He got the letter. He looked at the city fighting these Amorites. And he looked at the city and he saw where the fierce enemy was fighting. Huh? It says, and Uriah unto a place where he knew that the valiant men were. Okay? So he knew that these were some fierce fighters. Amen? And the men of the city went out and fought with Joab. And there fell some of the people of the servants of David. And Uriah the Hittite died also. You all see the damage that happens when a king, a leader, is out of order. Do y'all really see this? I want you to see this clearly. Amen. So Uriah died, but it says some of David's other servants died too. People are dying. Amen. Because of this leader now is out of order. Amen. Look at verse 18. Then Joab sent and told David all the things concerning the war. Innocent servants dying, saints. and charged the messenger, saying, when thou hast made an end of telling the matters of the war unto the king, and if so be that the king's wrath arise, and he say unto thee, wherefore approach ye so nigh unto the city when ye did fight? Know ye not that they would shoot from the wall? Look, Joab knew that the king was going to say, why in the world did y'all go so close to that city and fight them like that? Huh, you all, y'all went on the wall like that? He said, know you not that they was going to shoot from the wall? Why'd y'all get so close? Look at verse 21. It says, who smote Amalek, the son of Jerubbaseth? It says, who smote him? Did not a woman cast a piece of millstone upon him from the wall that he died in Tebes? Why went ye nigh the wall? Then say thou, thy servant Uriah the Hittite is dead also. That's how we're going to pacify him. Because you all know when it says, who smote Amalek? Amalek was the son of Gideon. It says the son of Jerubbaseth, but they called him Jerubbaal. This is the long name. They called Gideon Jerubbaal because he tore his father's groves down. All those, they was worshiping Baal, and he went and tore all that stuff down. And so Gideon had a son, Amalek. And he went so close to this wall, a woman just cast off a millstone and killed him. So what the king was saying was, what he was trying to lead the king off from seeing is that, you see how close we went to that wall? The king's going to say, well, y'all know better. Look what happened to Amalek when he went close to the wall. They just cast a millstone and killed him. You know better than fight close to that wall like that. That's what was really going on here. Amen. So they had all their bases covered, right? He told them what to say. So the messenger went and came and showed David all that Joab had sent him for. And the messenger said unto David, surely the man prevailed against us and came out unto us into the field, and we were upon them even unto the entering of the gate. And the shooters shot from off the wall upon thy servants, and some of the king's servants be dead. And thy servant Uriah the Hittite is dead also. See how he covered that up real nice? He says, some of your servants are dead, king, but Uriah's dead too. That's what you really wanted. Amen. Now look at the king. Then David said unto the messenger, thus shalt thou say unto Joab, let not this thing displease thee, for the sword devoureth one as well as another. Make thy battle more strong against the city, and overthrow it, and encourage thou him. See, when the leader saints lives one of those evil plots, it will discourage his valiant men. Amen? See, when pastors or leaders are heading the church and the people know that they are evil, that they are not doing what they're supposed to be doing, they get discouraged. So David knew that. So he know Joab is a valiant, fierce fighter. And he know, go back, telling the messenger, go back and encourage Joab, letting him know, you know, don't be displeased by what you saw I just did. Don't let that discourage you. That's what he's telling them. Amen. And pastors tell the people that, and I'm going to show it to you. Amen. And when the wife of Uriah heard that Uriah, her husband, was dead, she mourned for her husband. Amen. Look at verse 27. And when the mourning was past, David sent and fetched her to his house, and she became his wife. He's trying to fix this thing, ain't he? And bare him a son. But the thing that David had done displeased the Lord. I told you, God can see. All that stuff David went through, God was not pleased. Amen. Y'all heard that expression, God don't bless no mess. That was some mess. Amen. And he wasn't pleased. What was David thinking, saints? Could he not see, saints? God is omniscient, meaning he's all-seeing, all-knowing. Amen. God is omnipotent, meaning he has all power. Amen. And he's also omnipresent, meaning he's everywhere at the same time. Amen. Our God is an awesome God. Amen. He's awesome. Amen. All right, we're going to turn over to verse, to chapter 12. That was chapter 11, right? All right, let's turn over to chapter 12, because we don't want the story to end like that. Amen. That was pretty diabolical. Was that diabolical? That was diabolical right there. For a man after God's own heart. Amen. So I said earlier that God's people can mess up. Do you hear me? I said they can mess up. But I'm going to show you the antidote real time this time, okay? Okay, you have 2 Samuel 12, y'all turned over, look at verse 1. And the Lord sent Nathan unto David, and he came unto him and said unto him, there were two men in one city, the one rich and the other poor. We serve a good God, saints. See what he sent Nathan. Nathan is a prophet, right? See, when the man of God get out of order, God has sent him a prophet, a seer, to talk to him. Amen. Who warns their enemies? You know, who warns their enemies like that, saints? Tell me that. Who really warns their enemies? See, God will let you know where you missed it. He'll send a warning to you. Amen. Okay, look at verse 2. The rich man had exceeding many flocks and herds. So he's telling David this story. But the poor man had nothing save one little ewe lamb, which he had bought and nourished up. And it grew up together with him and with his children. It did eat of his own meat and drank of his own cup and lay in his bosom and was unto him as a daughter. Amen. Look at verse 4. And there came a traveler unto the rich man, and he spared to take of his own flock and of his own herd to dress for the wayfaring man that was come unto him, but took the poor man's lamb and dressed it for the man that was to come in, that was come to him. So now the rich man got all his stuff, but he went and took what the poor man just had, the one little thing. He takes that, right? Look at verse 5. And David's anger was greatly kindled against the man. Now David is getting mad. He did what? You know, he had all this and he just went and took the one that the man just had, the one. So David is getting mad. And he said to Nathan, as the Lord liveth, the man that have done this thing shall surely die. And he shall restore the lamb fourfold because he did this thing and because he had no pity. And Nathan said to David, thou art the man. David said, you the one I'm talking about. Thus saith the Lord God of Israel, I anointed thee king over Israel, and I delivered thee out of the hand of Saul. Okay, so God is showing what he done for David. I anointed you to be the king over my people, and I delivered you out of the hand of Saul. The old king, Saul was going to kill him. Saul didn't want to give up the kingdom. Amen. But God delivered David out of Saul's hand and made him king. Look at verse 8. And I gave thee thy master's house. He gave him Saul's house. And thy master's wives and his wives into thy bosom. And gave thee the house of Israel and of Judah. And if that had been too little, I would moreover have given unto thee such and such things. You know what he's really saying to David? I would have gave you anything you wanted. Kings, y'all hearing me? God is saying, if you humble yourself, seek his face, amen. Listen to his commandments and do them, amen. He said, I'll give you anything you want. That's what he's telling David. If that wasn't enough, I was already hooking you up. But if that was just a little bit too less for you, I would have gave you whatever else you wanted. That's what he's saying to him, amen. Look at verse 9. Wherefore hast thou despised the commandment of the Lord to do evil in his sight? Thou hast killed Uriah the Hittite with the sword, and has taken his wife to be thy wife, and has slain him with the sword of the children of Ammon. Thank you, Lord Jesus. See, when you willingly do evil in his sight, saints, you despise God's commandments. That's what God is saying. You despise my commandments. Amen. Look at verse 10. Now, therefore, the sword shall never depart from thine house, because thou hast despised me and has taken the wife of Uriah the Hittite to be thy wife. He said, the sword is not going to depart from his house now. Look at verse 11. Thus saith the Lord, behold, I will raise up evil against thee out of thine own house. Lord have mercy. And I will take thy wives before thine eyes and give them unto thy neighbor. And he will lie with thy wives in the sight of this son. For thou didst it secretly, but I will do this thing before all Israel and before the sun. God is about to put his evil stuff on the rooftop. Amen. He about to show David's evil stuff off. Amen. Lord have mercy. For everybody to see. Thank you, Lord Jesus. Let me ask y'all this. You remember we had this certain bishop who had this mega church in Atlanta. You all remember that? I can't mention names. They said, you cannot be mentioning names. Amen. But it was a certain bishop in Atlanta had this mega church, 15,000 in Georgia. And he was accused of sleeping with some boys. You all remember that? Huh? And I remember he got up before his congregation and they was all clapping and cheering and he said, I'm gonna fight this thing. And really, you know, everybody was looking at it like these boys came out. It was four of them, I believe, at that time. And they had all kind of facts. Amen. And I know what the Lord was telling them. What y'all think the Lord was telling them? Repent. I done pulled a cover. You got to repent. But he was up there. He wasn't repenting. Huh? Talking about how he going to fight it in court and how, you know, these allegations, I'm not going to have it. Never once said I didn't do it. I mean, you accuse me of something like that, the first thing I'm going to tell you is, look, I didn't do that. I did not do that. He never said he didn't do it. He just said, I'm going to fight it in court. Amen. Then what happened? He secretly paid off the boys. I think they say he got $20 million. $20 million. Amen. And then everybody knew. Huh? You going to spend $20 million and you didn't do it? Even though you didn't say you didn't do it, but when you paid money like that, oh, we knew what happened. Amen. But you know what? I revisited this yesterday because I wanted to be clear on this one. And them boys was messed up. They said, you know, we messed up for life. This ain't about money. Because the news was saying, well, why didn't y'all come forth? Well, why? They said he was like a daddy to us. We didn't know. He was like our daddy. Then all of a sudden, he gained our trust. He began to tell us all these things. He had all this money. We didn't know. We don't have no fathers. A couple of them didn't have a daddy. Say, we don't have no fathers, so we trusted him. And this is what he do. And then what really hurt him was when he went before that congregation, the congregation began to cheer for the pastor. They was like, now what you think they want to do with God now? Huh? What you think them young men, how you think they feel about God? Huh? Same thing with the Catholic Church. They going through the same thing, been going through it. Huh? They go see the priest who talks about confession, you know, and these guys making these confessions, and then they out here living foul like they living, many of them. Amen? What you think people think about the church when they see that? Huh, they think it's fake. Oh, man, I'm not going to no church. They doing what I was doing. I ain't going up in there. They a mess. Amen. Lord, have mercy. Our God is an awesome God. You know what happened? You know the man ended up dying, right? He just withered away. Never repented. Just withered away. Talking about how he was... He doing on this new diet and he's not eating meat and da-da and just withering away. Amen. But here was the killer. I didn't know this until I looked it up yesterday. Do you know that man died on Martin Luther King's holiday weekend, which in Atlanta is the Gay Pride Festival? He died on that day. Hint, hint, hint. Lord have mercy. The man died on that day. Amen. Woo, God was angry. Huh? You just going to go through, mess up. You got 15,000 people. And then I saw this personally. Another pastor in Atlanta, whom I've had great respect for, jumped up and was saying how he, you know, well, he made a little boo-boo. You know, the people are now y'all going to turn on him because he made a little boo-boo. We all make little boo-boos. Why would y'all turn on him? Because a little boo-boo, he was living and practicing sin. A whole lifestyle of sin. How is that a little boo-boo? Nowhere in the world should that man came up there and defended him. Oh, Lord. A little boo-boo. And the man is straight practicing sin. Amen. Oh, Lord have mercy. Living a lifestyle of sin. Sleeping with boys. Underage. Even if they was of age. Totally contradicting the word of God. Oh, when God pulled that cover, I don't know how he didn't repent. Then he got up there with his arrogant self and talked about, oh, I'm going to fight this thing. You're going to fight it. Thank you, Jesus. Think how many deaths he calls, that out of order pastor. Think of the deaths he calls, just like David. Huh? All them innocent men had to go and die with Uriah because of his foolishness. Amen. Think at the deaths he called, saints of God. Thank you, Jesus. What is going on in Atlanta anyway? Can I talk about Atlanta, Lord? Because something is going on in that place. It's a spirit there, and it's out of order. We know what it is. Everybody know. Lord have mercy. I saw this homosexual talking about what happened to David. I mean, what happened to this certain pastor. Y'all, let me slip it out. He was talking about it, right? And he said that man didn't have to die. He said that he wasn't going to take any medicine for what he had. You know, they said he died of cancer, but the guy who was telling the story said, we know he died of AIDS. That's what he said. Amen. Said, but he wasn't going to take the medicine because he was going to let his faith heal him. Amen. How your faith going to heal you? You don't repent. Huh? Faith can heal you, but you sure better repent. Huh? Oh, I can tell y'all what happened. So he came to the Lord and said, Lord, they done pulled the cover. Everybody know. And the Lord said, shook his head and said, yep. He said, but I'm sorry, Lord. I repent to you. I'm sorry. And the Lord said, okay, now I want you to go and stand before that congregation with them four boys that you messed up and apologize to them too. That's your assignment. And he didn't do it. He didn't do it. See, I told you, when if you don't do it, what's at stake, saints? Your healing. Amen. Let me give it to you right straight off the paper. What did I tell you? What's at stake? When you don't humble yourself and pray, and repent, forgiveness is at stake, healing is at stake, and your life is at stake. Is that what I told you? That's what's at stake. Huh? And he didn't do it. And he's not here today. Amen. Just withered away to nothing and caused all that death. Lord, have mercy. I'm going to read verse 12 again. It said, for thou didst it secretly, but I will do this thing before all Israel and before the sun. See, God did his stuff and put it on the rooftop before all Atlanta. Atlanta, watch this. Praise God. Look at verse 13. And David said unto Nathan, what did he say, saints? He repented. David said, I have sinned against the Lord. He told the prophet. David confessed the sin, saints, and saved his life. You know how I know that? Because look what happened right after that. And David said unto Nathan, I have sinned against the Lord. And Nathan said unto David, the Lord also hath put away thy sin, thou shalt not die. The prophet told him, okay, you confessed it, The Lord is going to put it away and you won't die. Look at verse 14. Howbeit, because by this deed thou hast given great occasion to the enemies of the Lord to blaspheme, the child also that is born unto thee shall surely die. What did it say he did by doing all that dirt that we read about he did? It says, have given great occasion to the enemies of the Lord to blaspheme. Now, what you think the bishop in Atlanta did? Huh? He gave up the church or the enemies of God. He gave them great occasion to blaspheme the Lord. Huh? Great occasion. Oh, this is the perfect time. They went out on the news. Oh, this bishop is sleeping with these boys and just great occasion to blaspheme God. That's what he did. Same thing David did. Saying to God, please hear me. If you mess up, amen, and you know you messed up, you need to really repent before God pulled the covers. Huh? And then, whatever the Lord tell you to do, you got to do it. If he send you, he might send you, he going to send you to who you hurt. Amen. Because it's easy to talk to God and tell him what you did, you know, and think, oh, ain't nothing going to happen. Something going to happen when you talk to God and tell him. But then God is going to give you some instructions to clean your heart up if you really, really just think. Okay, let's use the bishop in Atlanta as an example. Just think. When God pulled a cover and he repented to God and God told him, okay, now you need to go before that congregation because the news, everybody was there, and repent and let them know what you did. What if he would have did it? When right before that news, quit all that fidgeting and all that. When God give you instruction, don't tarry with it either. Just do it. He should have just went before, look, I slept with all them boys. I've been doing that forever. I'm sorry to you all. I apologize to God, and I'm sitting my butt down. That's what he should have did. He'll still be here. Who knows what he would have recovered? I don't know. Only God knows. But he wouldn't have died because, look, he got this. I have sinned against the Lord. And Nathan said unto David, the Lord also have put away thy sin. Thou shalt not die. He wouldn't have died. But he didn't do it. Too arrogant, too high, too lifted up, too many Rolls Royces, too many jets, huh? Too much wealth. He was on the God of this world. Oh, I'm spelling it out plain. Amen. Because I don't want to get caught up. Amen. In anything. I just want to be about the business of my Father's kingdom. Amen. So when he say it, I'm going to say it. Y'all already know. Y'all know what I'm going to do. I'm just going to do what he tell me to do. Come on. And say what he tell me to say. That's what I'm going to do. Amen. Look at this. Let me read 14 again. Howbeit, because by his deed thou hast given great occasion to the enemies of the Lord to blaspheme, the child also that is born unto thee shall surely die. And Nathan departed into his house. And the Lord struck the child that Uriah's wife bare unto David, and it was very sick. David therefore besought God for the child. And David fasted and went in and lay all night upon the earth. And the elders of his house arose and went to him to raise him up from the earth. But he would not, neither did he eat bread with them. See, his people, I'm thinking about the Atlanta situation, they tried to raise him up. Amen. But he was like, of what? I didn't do anything in his action. He never said it. But his action showed. And then let me say this. Let me get back on that for a minute. Because when I was watching the video, it said that when he had the secret meeting, he had to face them boys. He had to face them boys, their attorney. His attorney was there. And he was there. And they say it got crazy up in there. They say it got so crazy. Them boys were saying things like, you know what you did to me. I trusted you. You was my father. They were saying stuff like that. And they was just going on and on with what the boys were saying. Guess what the bishop said? Nothing. The bishop never said anything. Lord have mercy. Whew. And it came to pass on the seventh day that the child died. And the servants of David feared to tell him that the child was dead. For they said, behold, while the child was yet alive, we spake unto him, and he would not hearken unto our voice. How will he then vex himself if we tell him that the child is dead? But when David saw that his servants whispered, David perceived that the child was dead. Therefore David said unto his servants, is the child dead? And they said, he is dead. Amen. See, you gonna when you do dirt like that, saints of God, you gonna pay some consequences. Amen. It's just not gonna just, I'm gonna repent and God gonna forgive me and nothing is gonna happen. Something is gonna happen. Amen. This is what happened in his case. Amen. Oh, Lord, have mercy. God took me here. You know why God took me here? I'm going to show y'all why God took me here. Because last week, God revealed to a certain person the error in their ways. He did it. And he even gave them a chance to speak. And I was in awe. Amen. I was really in awe. One person got up and said how God was putting out a news flash that he wanted his house in order and to repent and we need to get things in order. They got up and said that. And then another person got up and began to make excuses. And when they did that, my head just went down like this. They just began to make excuses. Just don't say nothing. Amen. But when you make excuses and you don't repent, huh, before God's people, you mess them up. You kill them. Amen. Because now they thinking, God is not real. Jesus is not real. None of this is real. Because the leader is up there totally out of order. Why is the world out of order? Because the church leaders is out of order. That's why it's out of order. Amen. They should have repented, saints of God. And I begin to pray for them. And I'm going to pray right now, Lord, how quickly we go from intimacy with you, Lord, to rebellious. Because our flesh is weak. They talked about how weak the flesh is, and they're right. Jesus said the flesh is weak. Sit it down. Let him restore it. Let him strengthen it. It is weak. And when it gets weak and you in that position, you got to sit down. Amen. And let God strengthen your flesh. Amen. We saw that happen too. All right, let me give you this one. A certain pastor, young man in California, made some bad decisions. We don't know what happened, but he got up before that congregation and said, look, I'm messing up. I messed up. I did some things that I know are not pleasing to God. And I just want to tell y'all right now, I'm about to sit down. And they was like, oh, no, 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 no. He said, I'm going to sit down and let God strengthen me. Where is he today? He back in the pulpit. He's back in the pulpit preaching. Amen. Powerful messages, too. I'll be sitting there like, man, God gave you that revelation. That's a powerful revelation. Amen. He's back. Restored. Because what did he do? He sat down. Amen. And that's what we got to do. Leaders in the church. If you can't do it God's way, if you want to totally conflict your lifestyle with this Bible, because I'm going to tell you, you know what the best message ever preached? Let me tell y'all what the best message ever preached is your lifestyle. Amen. That's your best. You can get up here and know this way backwards and forwards like the bishop did. But his lifestyle didn't reflect it. Amen. So all the messages with all that revelation God was giving him, gone bye-bye. Meant nothing. You know, people go by and look at his stuff. Wow, that's jacked up. You know, it's just messed up. Amen. My son told me that once. Amen. When I was the old Rudy, the bipolar one, the one that was doing what he wanted to do. told my son, man, look, you should not be having sex with all them girls. You shouldn't do it. You shouldn't do it, dude. You're going to get all messed up. That's what's going to happen. Oh, daddy. How you going to say that, daddy? You didn't do that. My life didn't, it didn't reflect what the words that was coming out my mouth at that time. I couldn't tell him that. Amen. See, you can preach, you can have all this word, but if your life is not showing what your mouth is saying, they're not going to listen to you. Amen. They hear what you say, but they listen to what you do. Do you hear me? They listening to what you do. Amen. Oh, praise God. Lord, we just want to be about the business of your kingdom. We want to do this thing your way, Lord. We ask for strength from you, Lord, to do it your way, Father. It's not our will, Lord, but your will be done in our lives, Lord. When we come to ourselves and realize that we're nothing without you, Lord, and when we allow you to come into our hearts, Lord, and have full control of it, Father, please strengthen us, Lord. You say when an enemy rushes in on us like a flood, that you will raise up a standard against it. Raise that standard and keep it raised in us, Lord, that we can serve you, Lord, correctly in the fullness, Lord. Thank you, Lord Jesus. Thank you, thank you, thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Lord. You know what? I want to give you all this one last thing. Hallelujah, Lord. Since Kenyatta just got here, I got to serve up some more food. Amen. I'm going to give y'all this one. This one's going to be quick. So we saw David did repent, right? Amen. He has some terrible things in his house, though. God spoke them words. He said, I'm going to raise that sword up against your own house. And we know David, one of David's sons, raped his sister, and all kind of crazy stuff was happening in the house. Huh, that had to be. David, God said, hey, this is what's going to happen. All right, I'm going to forgive you. I'm going to forgive your sin. But see, sowing and reaping, things have to come out of what you did. Amen. But listen to this poem David wrote right here. It's found in Psalms 32. Listen to this one right here. It said, blessed is he whose transgression is forgiven, whose sin is covered. What did they call that person? Blessed, right? Blessed is he whose transgression is forgiven. How do you get the transgression forgiven again, saints? Repent. Amen. That's how you get it forgiven. Whose sin is covered. Now it's covered. Look at verse 2. Blessed is the man unto whom the Lord imputeth not iniquity, and in whose spirit there is no guile. Huh? That's why the Lord loved David. Huh? He was a man after God's own heart, because he wasn't going to stand up there all arrogantly and do that plot. We saw the plot, right? Did we not see the plan, what David was doing? He didn't stand up there and say, tell the prophet, look, man, the man is dead. I married his wife. He didn't make them excuses. He said, I sinned against the Lord. That's what we got to do. You got to repent. Amen. You say, blessed is the man whom the Lord imputeth not iniquity, and in whose spirit there is no guile. I don't believe it was any guile in his spirit. Amen. And I kept silence. My bones waxed old through my roaring all the day long. When I kept silence, my bones waxed old through my roaring all the day long. He said when he kept silent, his bones was waxing old. Huh? For day and night, thy hand was heavy upon me. My moisture is turned into the drought of summer. Selah. Look at verse 5. I did what, saints? Acknowledge my sin unto thee, and mine iniquity have I not hid. I said, I will confess my transgressions unto the Lord, and thou forgavest the iniquity of my sin. See, David had the key, saints. He knew how to say, Lord, I'm sorry. And then he do what the Lord tell him to do. Amen. Lord, I'm sorry, Lord. Amen. I remember when David was, counting valiant men for a battle. Now, you know, God was with David all the time. He was a man after God's own heart. And he was winning the battles because God was with him. Y'all catch that revelation right there, Kings? He was winning the battles because God was with him. That's why he was winning the battles. But one day he decided, let me count how many valiant men I have in Israel. Let me just count them. Let me see how many men I have. Do I have enough men? And God was angry. Huh? God is, can you see, David? I'm with you. You go, you take me before every battle and win. And all of a sudden, you counting valiant men. And the Lord was wroth. But you know, God is so just. You know what he did to David in that instance? He gave David some choices. He said, I'm going to punish you for that one. You want to count men, and I'm with you on every battle, but you want to count men like the men I went into war for you. He said, I'm going to give you some choices. You want me to let your enemies come running after you, or you want some pestilence to destroy the whole town, and da, da, da. He gave him three choices. But I'm going to show you how wise David is, and I want to give you all this. If God, if you mess up and God give you some choices, you're going to make that choice. Oh, that's the question for the day. Let me put that question on the table. So you messing up, you repent, and God gave you three choices. Either this can happen, or this can happen. Which one are you going to pick? The lesser one in your mind? Which one are you going to do? Amen. That's exactly what he did. You know what he did, saints? He said, Lord, you choose it. See, he know the heart of God because he's after God. He know God's heart is full of grace and mercy. Lord, I ain't going to make that choice. You choose what should happen to me, Lord. Oh, y'all got to catch that one there. Amen. Look at verse 6. For this shall everyone that is godly pray unto thee in a time when thou mayest be found. Surely in the floods of great waters they shall not come nigh unto him. Thou art my hiding place. Thou shalt preserve me from trouble. Thou shalt compass me about with songs of deliverance. Selah. I will instruct thee and teach thee in the way which thou shalt go. I will guide thee with my eye. Be ye not as the horse or as the mule, which have no understanding, whose mouth must be held in with bit and bridle, lest they come near unto thee. Say, don't be like that. Don't be where you got to be on a bridle, you know, and you don't understand. They just have to lead you around. Amen. Verse 10, many sorrows shall be to who, saints? The wicked. But he that trusteth in the Lord, mercy shall compass him about. See, when you want to get out of that situation and you repent and you trust God and you do whatever he tell you to do, mercy is what he's going to give you. Amen. Did you hear what your reward is going to be? Mercy. It might not be what you want. Amen. You want everything to be nice and like you didn't even do it and all that. That might not be what you get, but you are going to get some mercy from God. Amen. That's what you're going to get. Look at verse 11. Be glad in the Lord and rejoice, ye righteous, and shout for joy, all ye that are upright, how, saints? In heart. If you're glad, if you're upright in heart, you can be glad with the Lord and rejoice and be righteous. Amen. And shout for joy. Y'all don't be shouting loud enough for me. Why I be shouting all loud all the time? Hallelujah. Huh? I be screaming and hollering like that. Amen. The scripture said it. Be glad in the Lord and rejoice, ye righteous, and shout for joy, all ye that are upright in heart. That's why I be up so, shouting so much. Say, why is he screaming so much? Because my heart is upright. I gave it to God. Oh, Lord, I gave him all of it. I sold out to him. Huh? I remember when I didn't sell out to him, saints. When something would happen, I would just think I had to be there to fix it. Not on God's time. Something happened on God's time. I got to be here. God will fix it. Amen? I've sold out to him. I don't make excuses. Lord, I can't come to the house today. I can't meet you at my prayer time because this is going wrong. That's going wrong. I don't do none of that crazy stuff. I'm sold out. Don, I'm sold out, Don. I gave him all of me. Amen. I don't own none of this. Amen. Oh, thank you, Jesus. The best decision I ever made was to sell out to God. God, I'm going to do it this way. I got it now. Oh, Lord, have mercy. You can have all of me. Huh? I don't, Lord, have your way in your servant. I know how Jesus felt. Have your way, Lord. Do whatever you want with me, Lord. And if I mess up, I'm going to quickly repent. Lord, I'm sorry. Now, what do you want me to do? Call them four women up. Call them four women up there. Do what? Call them up there and apologize to them. Apologize to them. Lord, have mercy. Thank you for that, Lord.